Your Locked On Stars, your daily podcast on the Dallas Stars. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into the Locked On Stars podcast. I'm your host, Ian Nash, joining you here on this Tuesday. Talk about an unfortunate Monday night for the Dallas Stars as they fall in OT to the Florida Panthers. Meanwhile, the Nashville Predators pick up an OT win over the Columbus Blue Jackets. It could have been, it might be, the final nail in the coffin for the Dallas Stars in the 2021 season. It puts the playoff race almost not quite officially out of hand, but it would take nothing short of a miracle for the Dallas Stars to find themselves in the 2021 Stanley Cup playoffs. We'll talk about all of that, what to look for the Stars in the next couple of games, what does have to happen for them to be able to reach the playoffs, and we'll take a little bit of a peek ahead at next year because I think that's where the focus starts to turn. We'll talk about whether the Stars will look at that as their next step, their next focus as the rest of the season goes on. Before we dive into all of that, I want to talk to you about a new podcast that we have that will help you get hockey smart. The Crosscheck podcast, hosted by Andrew Berkshire and Mary Clark, goes deeper into NHL stories than any other podcast with the help of the smartest minds on the ice. Follow the Crosscheck podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Let's go ahead and dive into the game first, and we'll just talk through it a little bit. The Stars did not play great last night. They were gritty, and sometimes that's what it takes, and they did battle well, and they were eventually able to earn a point, but they did not play great as a whole. Last night, they went down early in the game, 2-0. Jonathan Huberdeau, less than 2 minutes in, gets his 19th of the season. And then Nikita Gusev, less than a minute later, makes it 2-0 Florida. It was a horrible start for Dallas. And it looked like, okay, here's the wrap-up shop. The hope kind of runs out a little earlier in the game than maybe we were expecting. But that may be all she wrote for the Stars in this one and in this series, and in the season, rather. But they would battle back. Like I said, they played a little bit gritty. Joe Pavelski at the 12-minute mark on the power play continues to be an excellent player for the Dallas Stars on the power play. Leads the league in power play goals. Gets his 22nd goal total of the season. Makes it 2-1 Florida. But literally 2 minutes later, Mackenzie Weegar on a breakaway that was just poor defending by the Stars as a whole. Makes it 3-1 Florida. That was about 2 minutes later at the 14-13 mark. Makes it 3-1 Florida. Stars would get a lucky break 3 minutes after that to get back within a goal of Florida. Jason Robertson gets credit for it, his 16th of the season, but it was more or less an own goal. Weegar sends it off of his goaltender, Spencer Knight, trying to play it back across in a dangerous area. Basically, he was going to send the puck through the crease, hits the goalie, redirects into the net. Jason Robertson was the last Dallas Stars player to touch it, so he gets credit for the goal. But it was about as own goal as you can get in the NHL. And they get back within a goal, go to the second period. Gustav Forsling, 45 seconds of the second period, puts Florida back up by 2 goals. That would be the end of Anton Hudobin's night. He did not look great. He looked a little antsy. And that was, I saw somebody describe it on Twitter like that. That was a great way to describe it. He looked a little uncomfortable in net, just was trying to anticipate almost a little too much and got beat on some stuff that maybe he shouldn't have got beat on. Gives up his 4th goal of the game just 45 seconds into the second period. That would be the end of his night. Jake Ottinger would come in. We'd be scoreless for the rest of the second period. The Stars had some decent shifts of momentum, but couldn't find the goal to get back in it. Fast forward to the third period, Joel Kiviranta, less than 4 minutes in, 3 minutes, 55-second mark. It's his 4th of the season, makes it a 4-3 Florida lead, and then his story book comes literally 11 seconds later. Tyler Seguin, his first appearance of the season after missing 7 months due to injury and hip surgery, back in the lineup, scores his first goal of the season 11 seconds after Kiviranta, ties it up 4-4, go to overtime. No team could break through in regulation, go to OT, and Joe Pavelski took a 2-minute minor in the overtime period, and it was Alexander Barkov who sealed it on the power play in the overtime period for the Panthers. Sealed the win. Stars walk away with just a point. Meanwhile, you go across and look at the Nashville-Columbus game. Nashville looked like they were going to run away with it, led 3-0 going into the third period. Columbus scores three third period goals, sends it to OT, but loses. So Nashville does get both of their points. Stars only get 1 point. Dallas now 4 points out of a playoff spot with four games to go in the season. Going to be a tough, tough road. It's really unlikely. It's going to take, like I said, nothing short of a miracle for the Dallas Stars to get into the postseason this year, which is an unfortunate turn for Dallas, who looked like they were turning a corner in April and looked like they might could get on the trajectory. But in the end, I think the hole was a little too deep and it didn't allow really any room for error. And that's what we've seen over the past week or so. The Stars slipped up a couple of times, including against Nashville. And because there was really no margin for that, they're gonna have to get a ton of help and play some of the best hockey they've played, maybe the best hockey they've played all year, to get into the postseason. We'll talk about that a little bit later on in the show. In this one, they're outshot 43-29. They win 48% of the faceoff, so lose the faceoff battle a little bit there. Both teams get a power play goal. Stars 1-for-2 on the power play. Florida goes 1-for-4. Dallas, like I said, they didn't play great. They probably didn't necessarily deserve a point, although they did play gritty. They played better in the third period. Florida was a little bit loose with it as well. I characterize it as this. Watching the game, there was moments in the game where I was like, this looks like the Lindy Ruff Dallas Stars, not the Dallas Stars we've seen in recent times. They had plenty of chances. There was a period where it was 4-2 in the second period. And for a lot of the second period, it felt like we were just, you know, we were going to get a goal imminently. It was just either, was it going to be a 5-2 Florida goal or was it going to be a 4-3 Stars goal? That's what was kind of the battle and kind of the question. But it felt like the whole game, it was just chance after chance after chance for both teams. And both teams had plenty of opportunities. And, it was just a lot of back and forth, a lot of open chances, a lot of end-to-end kind of hockey. And I don't know that necessarily suits the Stars in their current iteration. And unfortunately, they were only able to get the point because of that in this game. We'll talk about kind of the playoff race and what it means for the playoff race looking ahead. I'll talk a little bit about Tyler Seguin. We'll talk about I don't want to talk too much about next season. We may have plenty of time for that. But I do want to take a little bit of a peek ahead and just kind of see where we're at with an eye to next season, especially with Seguin returning now, what we can kind of see. And maybe this, I think this team could be really good next season, especially with a key addition or two into the lineup. I think this team could be really, really good next year. I want to talk about that for a split second. Before we do all of that, though, want to talk to you about 10-10. The episode is brought to you by 10-10, capsule collection of diamond rings, responsibly sourced, limited edition designs at fair price points. Their exclusive collection of 10 created styles of diamond rings designed by 10 of their most distinctive designers working today. Rings that are sure to bring joy into her life. They use only diamonds responsibly sourced from Botswana. 10 female design masters have each produced a uniquely beautiful ring that are ideal for engagement, Mother's Day, or simply a beautiful conversation piece. They're the perfect way to bring light into her life. They're available now through Mother's Day only at BlueNile.com. To search the words 10 by 10, the collection features high quality fine jewelry that will surprise and delight and fairly priced. You can give her something special and truly meaningful. Go to, if you're on the hunt for the perfect ring, unique ring that she'll treasure forever, you're definitely going to want to go to check this out. Won't be around for long. Find them now by searching the words 10 by 10 at BlueNile.com through Mother's Day only. Also want to talk to y'all about Wealthfront. Stonks, memes, rocket ships, day trading, it can all be a lot of fun. But if you want to grow your long-term wealth and you want to make it to the moon, you should open up a Wealthfront investment account today. Decades of data show that investors that trade individual stocks underperform the market every year. In fact, only 1% of day traders beat the market. The odds aren't in your favor if you're doing it alone. Team up with Wealthfront instead. Investing can be complicated, but whether you're a beginner or you've been investing for years, Wealthfront makes it easy. They've got the right tools for every portfolio. Wealthfront is trusted with over $20 billion of assets. That's $20 billion with a B, dollars of assets. And you can get your first $5,000 managed for free by going to Wealthfront.com/LockedOnNHL. All you need is $500 to get started. Grow your wealth the easy way. Let Wealthfront do all the work for you. To get your first $5,000 managed for free for life, go to Wealthfront.com/LockedOnNHL. That's WEALTHFRONT.com/LockedOnNHL. Start growing your savings. Wealthfront.com/LockedOnNHL. Get started today. let's go ahead and keep kind of talking about, we'll talk about the playoff race a little bit here. The Stars obviously are very much now on the outside looking in, 56 points through 52 games. They trail Nashville in fourth. Nashville 60 points through 53. Stars do have a game in hand. Nashville 3 games remaining on the season. Dallas with 4. But of course, Dallas with a 4-point deficit and only 2 extra points on the table do not control their own destiny. They're going to need help, and they're going to need a lot of it, frankly. The Stars, 4 games left on their schedule. You look at this and how it breaks down. They don't have a tiebreaker against Nashville. So Dallas, you know, even if Nashville only wins one of their next 2, Dallas is going to need to win all 4 of these games they have remaining. That includes 2 games against Tampa Bay and 2 games against the Chicago Blackhawks. Conversely, if Nashville doesn't win any of their remaining games, the Stars would need to win 3 of their next 4, or at least come away with 5 points to pass Nashville. And that's the awkward part of it, is you'd need a ton of help. If Nashville goes and wins 2 games out of their next 3, the Dallas Stars cannot chase them down in the playoff race. The Stars only have 8 points left on the table. If Nashville picks up 4 more points, that's the magic number for Nashville. That guarantees that they will be in that playoff spot. The Stars are more than fighting an uphill battle. So you kind of look at it, and we'll go from optimism's sake, just what has to happen for Dallas to get in. First and foremost, the Stars, I think, at minimum, have to win their next 3, have to win 3 of their next 4, and have to come away with a point in maybe that other game. I think that's minimum. I switch that up. Minimum, they've got to win all 4. The Stars have to win their 4 remaining games. That's a big, big task to ask. But it's the only way they can even comfortably guarantee themselves a shot at a playoff spot. Because the reality of it is, Nashville is not going to lose their next 3 games. That would be a massive, massive surprise. They obviously beat Columbus last night. They play Columbus again. Then they've got Carolina twice on their schedule. Even if they're, you know, they're underdogs against Carolina, even if they lose to Carolina twice, you would expect them to be able to beat Columbus and be sitting, essentially 6 points ahead of where the Stars need to be, which means Dallas needs 7 points. So that's where I go with the minimum. They need 3 wins and a point, an OT loss, shootout loss in their next 4 games to really even have a legitimate chance at getting in the postseason. But it's hard to break down because everything is so unlikely. Dallas coming away with 7 points out of the next 4, unlikely. I think comfortably you could ask for 5. That would mean that for Dallas to comfortably get 5, which I think is even then not a lock, but even if they Dallas picked up 5 points, you're talking about Nashville having to lose out the rest of the year for Dallas to be able to get into the postseason on those 5 points. So there's a lot of twists and turns. Now, the bright side is Nashville obviously was up against it with Columbus last night. Columbus rallied back, so it showed that Columbus can hang with Nashville on a good night. You know, so maybe not completely out of the question that Columbus could make a run here. But you're asking a lot of a Columbus team that more or less has nothing to play for. They're not going to make the postseason. The losing actually kind of helps them in terms of, there's nothing on the line for Columbus. When you look at it from that perspective, there's nothing on the line for Columbus, win or lose. And so, you know, the pressure's off for Columbus, I guess. But in terms of going in and taking on a Nashville team and matching the intensity of a Nashville team that is can see the finish line and can see that postseason spot up ahead, that's a big, big ask for them to match it. Conversely, you know, Carolina does have something to play for. They're still playing for seeding at the top of the Central. They currently lead the Central 2 points ahead of Florida, 4 points ahead of Tampa Bay. That's still going to be in the mix. They're even on games played with Tampa Bay. They've got 2 games in hand on Florida. So they're still going to be playing for seeding, and they're still going to be battling for one of those top 2 spots, ideally the top spot if you're Carolina. So that's, you know, that's something worth talking about, and they're a good enough team. I don't think it's out of the question they beat Nashville twice, but the Stars losing last night was a big, big blow for Dallas because they're not picking up that extra point because they couldn't keep pace with Nashville. So they need more help than just Carolina winning these next 2 games. They need Columbus to be able to knock them off. I mean, realistically, let's say Nashville beats Columbus, loses twice to Carolina. They're sitting 6 points. The Stars have 7 points to make up. like I said, I mentioned that scenario earlier. Then you're talking about probably beating Chicago twice and beating Tampa Bay once, and then picking up a point in the other game against Tampa Bay. Is it possible? Certainly. Is it probable? Not really. I think the Stars are, like I said, and kind of working in circles here, but I feel like the Stars are probably at best looking at 4 points, maybe five. From these next few games, five is the magic number. They got to come up with at minimum five to even have even for there to be a mathematical situation. Right now, as it stands right now, for them to get in the postseason. Now, obviously, that can change easily with Nashville's results as we move along the rest of the season as well. Looking at these two teams' schedules and what they've got on the horizon, Nashville will take on Columbus tomorrow, Wednesday. That's when they take on Columbus. It is in Columbus, so something to watch there. Obviously, we'll have our attention glued to that. Last night, I was providing updates during that game as well. Dallas at Tampa Bay. If Dallas loses tomorrow night in regulation, that pretty much will seal it. Nashville would just need a win. If Nashville wins tomorrow night, Dallas loses in regulation, Dallas would be mathematically eliminated from the postseason. If Dallas loses in regulation, Nashville wins. Loses in overtime, and Nashville wins in regulation, Dallas not technically eliminated. So that's Dallas can't lose in regulation tomorrow. That's really what it comes down to. They can't afford to lose in regulation. They need a point. They really need them both to really even have a sniff at a postseason spot. Not necessarily the bright, shiny, positive podcast we love to have, but that's just the reality of it. Let's step aside real quick. When we come back, we'll look a little bit more into this. I want to talk about Jamie Benn was really critical of his line. That was an interesting note. And then I want to take a quick little peek ahead, because I think it's not all negatives. This year is obviously really, really disappointing. And if they do miss the playoffs, like it looks like they will, very, very big letdown after the run from last year. That being said, I don't think this season, especially this end of this year, has been all negatives. We'll talk about that right around the corner. Before we do, BetOnline's the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season's in full swing. You can track the action at BetOnline. This best weekend has had tons of stuff going on. The NFL draft was going on. The Kentucky Derby kicked off the Triple Crown. All of that kind of stuff is on BetOnline. You can go check all of it out, get all the latest news, odds, and info for your sporting needs, including MLB, NHL, NBA, and all your UFC or MMA action. Before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device to check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest info. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. This is your chance to get in on the game as teams prep for their runs to the playoffs. Head to the website, use your mobile device today, receive a 50% welcome bonus with promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Also want to talk to you about rockauto.com. You know how many vehicle makes and models out there. If you've even researched vehicles of late, you know how many different options there are, how many different specs there are, how many different variants, how many different trims. There's so much going on in cars. And, you know, when you go through all of that and you know all of that, then you finally figure all that out. You go to the store looking for a specific part. The store maybe carries it. If they have it and you get lucky, they have it. But even then, they carry one brand most of the time. They carry the brand their warehouse happens to carry. So there's no variation. There's no way to really save any money because you've got to pay the price that they put in front of you. Don't go through that. Go to rockauto.com. You have access to it at home and in your pocket. It's an auto parts customer. Retailer that served customers for online for over 20 years, family-owned business. Go check them out, rockauto.com. Their catalog is unique. It's easy to navigate. Their prices are reliably low. They're the same whether you're a pro or a do-it-yourselfer. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now. Right, locked on there. How did you hear about us box? So they know that we sent you. See all the parts available for your car or truck. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. Want to wrap up this show real quick before we wrap up last night's game. There were some really, really tough comments made by Jamie Benn about his line's performance, about his performance last night. He used some language that I won't repeat, but was pretty brutal in his assessment of the team and how things went. And I think that was, you know, I think it really sunk in. Not that he wasn't aware of the how important these games were, but I think it really kind of hit hey, this is that was probably it. That was the game you needed to win, and you didn't get the job done, and now you're probably not going to make the postseason. I think that settled in, and it's got to be a tough blow for Ben, who obviously the Dallas Stars during his time have been kind of up and down in their ability to make the playoffs. He had the high of making the Stanley Cup final last year and then finished two games short of what would have been his first Stanley Cup, the franchise's first in a couple of decades. And you know, and then to come back and not even make the playoffs as it looks right now, I think is a really, really tough thing for him and for the rest of the team. I think those comments were interesting. I think it, you know, he's very much aware of the reality of the situation as the captain. And I think he and the team have really improved over the past month or so. But at the end of the day, they didn't do enough in the early part of the season to put themselves in a position for success. And that's just a really, really disappointing turn of events for Dallas. I don't think this year has been a bust, regardless of the postseason and whether they make it or not. Don't think this year has been a bust. And maybe that's just the wanted to be eternal optimist in me. But I think you look at this Dallas Stars team and you look at the positives and you go, without some significant, and when I say significant, I mean significant injury issues that the Stars have had this year, not just a lot of injuries to their best players, I think the Stars are in a playoff spot, and I think they're comfortably in a playoff spot, so I think that next year there's some hope for next year. Even though they missed the playoffs, I don't think this is a signal, hey, hit the rebuild button, because I think if you go back to next year, you go next year and you get back what you were hoping for this season, I think the Stars are staring down a very, very good team that has a potential to be very successful in the long run. You look at Joe Pavelski, his reemergence, he's been very, very good for the Stars this year, leads the team in points, 45 points in 52 games. That is massive. He's under contract next year. So at the very least, here's what you get in Joe Pavelski. You get a veteran leader, point producing, and he's on an expiring deal. If things absolutely go south, Dallas Stars have a valuable piece for the trade deadline. But I don't think the Stars are going to need it. I think Joe Pavelski now comes in. He's an anchor. He's one of the leaders on this team. He's got the points to produce the point production to match his role. And I think he's going to be a big part of this team maybe next year. Bigger, he was much better this year than he was last year. That's a plus for this Dallas Stars team. Jason Robertson, second on the team in points with 42 and 47. He's been a massive emergence for this Dallas Stars team. The future that looked a little bit dim, go back, say 2 months ago, 3 months ago, looks much brighter with Jason Robertson, his emergence. This is a guy I think the Stars can build around. I think he's a cornerstone piece for the next 5-10 years, hopefully. Hopefully he continues to develop. He's been very, very good. He's going to be an important piece. Roope Hintz, same thing. He's averaging a point per game, 39 points in 39 games. Roope Hintz, fully healthy, and maybe, you know, that's another thing to think about for next year. I mean, the reality of it is the Stars make the playoffs. Yes, anything can happen. The Stars are not getting back to the Stanley Cup final this year. They're not. Maybe there's some benefit in having a, you know, back to a regular length off season, get guys healthy. Roope Hintz is one of those. He's been hurt most of this year. Even as a hurt player, he's averaging a point per game. He's been great this season. John Klingberg has produced some points better, produced points at a better rate this year. Jamie Benn has been better, much better of late, same as Dennis Gurianov. Obviously, you know Miro Heiskanen, Esa Lindell are going to be influential. And then you add back in Alexander Radulov, who's missed most of the year, Tyler Seguin, who's missed all of the year except for last night, Ben Bishop, who's missed the entire season, Joakim Ranta, who's missed most of the season. The future, I think, is much brighter for the Dallas Stars, and you look ahead to next year, and I think you go, hey, there's something here. We get Radulov back healthy. We get Tyler Seguin with the full offseason. We get Ben Bishop back healthy. We get Roope Hintz healthy. We get Jamie Benn back in a role, you know, in a role that suits him. We have an offseason kind of tinker with that role and how it looks and put together a better plan for how to attack this year, or next year, pardon me. I think the Stars feel much better. Jake Ottinger is certainly an NHL caliber goaltender. That opens up something for you. I think Anton Udobin is going to see his Dallas Stars tenure come to an end, not by any indictment of how he's been. He's been a very important player for the Stars over the past couple of years. But Jake Ottinger's ready, and Ben Bishop is going to be your number one next year. I don't see that changing, barring something unforeseen. So that opens up some salary space and really puts you in a better position cap-wise, because you have a rookie goaltender who's on a cheaper deal. I think the Stars have a chance to really make a good run next year when they're fully healthy, and regardless of whether they can sneak in at the end of this year or not. Do want to look, you know, talking about Jason Robertson, the points race in the rookie points race, he's up to 42 points in 47 games. Trails Kirill Kaprizov, 45 points in 51. for the Wild rookies. Jason Robertson still has him edged slightly on points per game. Kaprizov just passed him in even strength goals. He's got 16, Robertson with 15. Robertson still has him in even strength points. Obviously, Kaprizov has him in power play points by 6. Robertson has him in terms of production and time on ice. It's going to be a close one. I think it's going to go to Kaprizov, especially with the Stars probably missing the playoffs. But Jason Robertson has certainly emerged as an important player for this Dallas Stars team for years to come. That's going to do it all for this episode. We finished up this episode. If you're looking for something else to listen to, go check out the Locked On Today podcast. You get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes. The host, Peter Bukowski, updates you on the latest news in all of the major sports, and he uses the help of our local experts. Follow Locked On Today on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcast. Check it out. It's a great show. It's all the sports news you need, condensed real quick, bite-sized. Just take it, learn everything you need to know. Great show. Go check it out. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at Locked On Stars. Follow my personal account as well at Kenneth_Nash19. And make sure to follow us wherever you listen to your podcast so we show up in your feed every single day. We'll be back tomorrow to preview tomorrow night's game. Until then, though, stay safe. Enjoy your Tuesday night. And I'll be back tomorrow to talk to y'all. Until then, have a good one.
You're Locked On Stars, your daily podcast on the Dallas Stars. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.